传送客户去。
You're listening to the Hour of the Times.
I'm William Cooper.
And I'm too.
Well, folks. I'm killing some time here because WWCR, as they frequently do, has screwed up again. Instead of going into the queue to bring up the Hour of the Time, they played the USA Radio News. I don't know who's on the board at WWCR, but this is getting to be not satisfactory at all. Somebody's going to hear about it tomorrow, I can guarantee you. Let's go to Phoenix for the Metal Report with Gene Miller. Good evening, Gene.
Good evening, Bill. How are you doing?
Well, I was doing fine until WWCR pulled their standard stupidity glitch.
Standard stunt of the month, huh?
Yeah. I think they got a new sheeple on the board.
Yeah. Did you happen to catch what Paul Harvey had to say over the front page of the USA today?
No, I didn't.
Well, you've already been talking about it, but it was about the currency. And basically, by the end of this year, the rainbow money should be out in circulation.
Another prediction by Bill Cooper comes true, ladies and gentlemen, right on time. But we'll have to see. You know, it's not done till it's done.
Yeah, it's like I say, it's not over till the fat lady sings or whatever. But anyhow, gold had a high today of 381.60 and a low of 378.50 to close at 378.80, down $2.40. Keep in mind that was in lieu of a $10 hike in the price of gold that happened on Friday. So, silver had a high of $5.42, a low of $5.27 to close at $5.28, down 12 cents. Again, the metals were very strong last Friday. That was up like 31 cents. Platinum had a high today of 398, a low of 393 to close at 395.30. Down $5.60, and the Dow had a high of 3666.20 and a low of 3629.30 to close at 3656.40, up $27.40, which is in lieu of a $40 drop that happened yesterday on Monday. So anyhow, in lieu of what's happening with the currency and the weakness in the dollar, folks, give us a call. All these things that we've been talking about for months now, I don't know about yourself, but I know Mr. Cooper's been talking about this currency thing for, how long has it been now, Bill?
Well, it's been quite a few years, as a matter of fact. It has to happen. And when it happens, they will devalue the dollar. How much, we don't know. It could be anywhere from 10 to 1 to 100 to 1.
Well, folks, there you have it. I guess if that doesn't, you know, even with it making front page news now and Paul Harvey comment, I guess that it is kind of gradually slipping it in the back door. So you'll just think, oh, great, this is a good idea. Giving up your money is never a good idea. And I guess when you own gold, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. And by not owning it, you run the risk of losing, well, hundreds, thousands, your life savings. And give us a call. We've got some material that will certainly get you educated on this market. You've heard our number hundreds of times, 1-800-289-2646, 1-800-BUY-COIN. And give us a call tonight, tomorrow. We'll be more than happy to sit down and talk with you and work out a portfolio for you to help you to at least begin to protect yourself, protect your family, and your right to survive in this, what seems to be a up-and-coming new world order.
You mean we have a right left, a right to survive?
Well, you can take it, or you, like you say, you can be one of the sheeple and just stand in line right along with the rest of them.
There you go.
I choose not to.
Me too. Okay, thank you, Gene.
Thanks, Bill.
Appreciate it.
Good night.
Folks, call Gene Miller or anyone at Swiss America Trading at 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Actually, I knew that that was in the news, although I haven't seen it or heard it. And it wasn't too many nights ago that I told you that this would be a pivotal year. And I gave you a time frame in which they would change the money. And once again, I'm right. And folks, just in case you're out there scratching your head, wondering what's going on, I'm the only one who's consistently right. I've only been wrong about one call that I've made. I said that Manuel Noriega would not be convicted in an American court and would not spend time in jail. I was wrong. But that's the only thing so far I've been wrong about since I began making predictions. I've been 100% correct on everything except for that one. And I'll never be 100% correct because, as I've told you before, I'm not a prophet. God doesn't whisper in my ear and tell me what's coming. I do hard work, hard research. Everything that I predict is based upon fact, based upon my research, based upon the research of the CAGI members. And because we have information at our fingertips here that no one else in the world has, we're able to make these predictions and be consistently right. So, don't go away. We're going to open the phones tonight and talk to all of you out there. Carolyn's on the other mic, and if you want to talk to her, and see what's on your mind. Let me remind you that the phone number is 602-337-2524. That's 602-337-2524.
Come on, it's crazy, yeah. Nothing to lose, come on, let's crazy girl. Nothing to lose, come on, let's crazy girl. Nothing to lose, come on, let's crazy girl. Come on, let's crazy girl. Nothing to lose, come on, let's crazy girl. Nothing to lose, come on.
Good evening, you're on the air.
Meow.
Oh, it's that little pussy, folks, who can't find his sandbox. 602-337-2524. We know who he is, by the way. He's a satellite radio listener, and he likes to bother other satellite radio programs also. He thinks he's anonymous, but he's not. Little pussies never are. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hey, good evening, Bill. How you doing?
Just fine.
Listen, quick comment.
Turn off your radio.
Bob, would you turn that down?
No, turn it off.
Turn it off. Do something. I couldn't hear until I spoke. Sorry about that. Listen,
no.
I'm calling because I want
to... We can't listen to you like that. When you call, folks, you've got to turn your radio off. I gave you as long as I could, and all we were getting is feedback. So, the number, once again, is 602-337-2524. That's 602-337-2524. Our CAGI convention, folks, will be held this year in August 1st through the 5th. That gives you a weekend to get here and get comfortable. We're going to have lectures and workshops and classrooms and get-togethers all week long, the 1st through the 5th of August, and then it gives you another weekend to go home. So, those of you who want to attend, send us a postcard or something with your address, name and address, so that we can send you the information that you'll need about places to stay, what to do, what we're going to be doing, and all that kind of stuff. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello. How you doing?
Fine.
I
just wanted to call and let you know, sorry about that. You there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. Really enjoy your show, and I've been taping your shows, and a good friend of mine, Robert, has been taping your stuff and giving it to me, and I've been passing it out to my friends, and they're enjoying it, and I've gotten several people turned on the shortwave, and my neighbor down the street said, I asked him, I said, did you listen to William Cooper tapes I gave you? And he says, yeah, I did. And he says, and you know what? He says, the more I listen to it, he said, the faster I pull the handle on my reloader.
Well, that's some sage advice there.
Yes, sir.
For everybody.
Oh, yes. But I really do want to thank you for the excellent job that you do. And it's just, I can't say any more. You're doing outstanding. And I've got nothing but praise for you. And well, keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
602-337-2524 is the number. Like to hear from you. What's on your mind? What kind of research have you been doing? Have you been checking out the things that we've been telling you on the Hour of the Tarn? Or do you just sit there and believe blindly? Or, even worse, sit there and do nothing? Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Cooper. I have a question for you, and maybe you can answer it. I'm running into a situation where the armored personnel carriers are made out of aluminum. Can you tell me if a 30-06 armored piercing bullet will penetrate one side of a armored personnel carrier?
I don't know. How thick is the armor?
The one I've seen is actually 1.5 inches. And the testing I've done is that the AP round will go through 7 inches of armored aluminum. But, you know, the stuff that's on the APC may be tougher, so I just didn't know the answer.
I don't know. I can't tell you.
Okay, well, thank you. Maybe somebody will call in.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Yes?
Right, Bill, I could interrupt here while you're getting your next caller and remind everyone that Friday night will be ladies' night, and the women could be preparing their subjects for calling in to let us know what's going on in their area.
That's right, and I've instructed Carolyn that if she answers the phone and there's a male voice, to hang up immediately. We will not tolerate what has been happening before on ladies' night. And if the little pussy keeps calling, we'll have somebody go and knock on his front door and take care of him. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Mr. Cooper.
Yes, that's me.
Yeah, I'm in Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
And I mailed you a package UPS back in a couple of months ago.
Ma'am, I get tons of mail every day.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way, if you're asking me, did I get your package? I don't know. What was in it?
Well, I've spoken to you on Mr. DiMonato's program when you were called in from Philadelphia. And you had asked me to send you the information, and you would get back to me. You
have it? Oh, yes, yes, we have it, yeah. Uh-huh. We're conducting an investigation.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I enjoy your program.
Thank you.
Thank you for being there.
Well, you're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 602-337-2524. Folks, if you call up and you want to know if we got your mail, you got to tell me something about what it was. We get hundreds of letters and packages every day. Good evening. You're on the air.
Mr. Cooper.
Yes.
I was digging around in the research computers library, and I came across the name of Danny Casalero. Supposed to be an investigative reporter. It was digging into October Surprise and all that.
He's a dead investigative reporter.
Yeah. Kind of fishy sounded. I was wondering if you knew anything more about it than what I was able to find.
Nope. Nothing at all. Nobody does. Everybody has all these guesses and everything, but nobody really knows what happened to him or why. Supposedly he committed suicide. I don't believe that he did. Other people don't believe that he did. But we don't really know who, what, where, or why happened.
You find any references to all the stuff that's supposed to be new information about Clinton? in the nation, February 24th, 1992, there was a story about Mena, Arkansas, and all that mess with him and the Iran-Contra. And all this is old news, turns out. It's just buried. And keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you heard it here first, if you've been listening to the Hour of the Time, and not recently either, long, long time ago. I told you all about Clinton when I told you that he would be the next president of the United States. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello, Bill. Mr. Cooper.
Yes.
Yes, my question is, I'd like it when you talked about Osiris and Horus, about the mythology and religion of ancient Egypt. I was wondering, there's an author by the name of Joseph Campbell, and he wrote many books, about 20 books. And I was wondering if you're familiar with that man, Joseph Campbell, or not. He was the world's leading authority on mythology. I was wondering if he was a Mason. I don't know if you know, ever heard of him or not.
I don't know if he was a Mason or not, but he certainly understood the mysteries. I've read every book that he's written, and he understood the mysteries very well. He was the world's foremost expert on mythology, from what I've been able to tell. And that's a recognition given by his peers. But actually, I think that Manly P. Hall really knew more than Joseph Campbell did.
Okay, Manly P. Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Because I read about 11 of his books, The Mask of God series, and...
And if you really want to get into the stuff, get down to R. Swinburne Clymer.
Clymer.
R. Swinburne Clymer.
All right, well, I would have to look that up there, but I enjoy your show. I've been listening.
Also, you might try Francis Bacon.
Well, Francis Bacon, the philosopher?
Yes.
All right.
Supposedly.
I just wanted to call, find out if he was a Mason, because what he talks about is, I find it fascinating.
You don't have to be a Mason to be illumined. There are many different organizations. I don't know which one Joseph Campbell belonged to, but obviously he belonged to one of them.
Well, I just feel bad because my brother is a third-degree Mason, and I feel bad about that. I really care for my brother a lot, but I think the reason why he joined the Masons, I asked him why. He said there's job benefits, there's benefits. And I know my brother very well, and I can give him an example of what he does. Like when I was a young man, about 17, and he was about 14, 15, I said, Joe, say this, and he'd say it. I said, tell this guy to say this, you know, I'd tell him, say this to this guy, he would. Kind of like a puppet, you know, like just, like if I tell him to do something, he would do it. He's a good guy, but I just don't think he knows where he got into. I don't know why.
He knows exactly what he's doing.
He's
selling his soul for material benefit. He told you that when he said he did it because of job benefits. He knows what he's doing.
I just feel bad. That's all. I'm calling from New York.
Yeah. Don't feel bad. Just take care of yourself. Everybody has to make their own choice in this life.
I don't know about Joe. Thanks a lot for the information. I really appreciate the show. It's an interesting show. Sometimes I feel guilty because you gave us a job order to do. Go to the library and look up this law that one of the presidents made about guns. And I'll be honest with you, I did not go to the library and look it up. You gave us a number and the books.
How will you ever know if I'm telling the truth?
Well, I just listen, and sometimes you do make me feel guilty that I don't do the things, but, like, I do listen, and maybe someday I'll do some work, you know. But it's a pleasure talking to you, Bill. Take it easy, and nice talking to you. Bye.
Bye. Well, someday, maybe, but someday, maybe you won't have any time left to do it. You might be a slave next week. Who knows? Time is getting short, folks, very short, as you're finding out. Good evening, you're on the air.
Mr. Cooper.
Goodbye, dummy. Any more dummies out there, give us a call. We know how to take care of you. And if necessary, if you come to our door, we'll change your little diapers for you. We'll wipe your little butt. We'll wash you up nice and shiny, pinch your chinks so they'll be nice and blush red, and then we'll send you off to school. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening. Two things I want to mention, if you don't mind. First of all, I'd like to say I commend you for teaching or preaching to not hate. And the second thing I'd like to say is a question. These people who do preach hate, you know, Aryan Nation types, who are also conspiracy believers. Are they being led around by the nose by somebody? And if so, whom?
Well, you have to ask them that. I believe they are. I believe that all of these groups are created by someone who has an agenda of pitting us against each other. I believe that racial unrest is stirred up in order to pit us against each other so that the people who really run the world don't have any problems from any of us. We're too busy knocking each other off.
Yeah, that's always been kind of sort of my belief, because also on the satellite we watched a fellow named Pete Peters.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you're familiar with him, but...
Yes, I am.
His story is that every bit of evil in the world is a result of Jews.
Well, I don't believe that.
That's not to say Jews don't have something to do with it, but Italians and Greeks and Irishmen and Japanese and Chinese and you name it. But I've never heard you really address that, and I was kind of curious as to how...
Address what?
Address whether or not it is just solely a Jewish conspiracy or...
Oh, no, of course not.
Satan, is it a satanic conspiracy?
George Bush isn't a Jew, is he?
No, he isn't.
He's part of it. Bill Clinton's not a Jew, is he?
Nope.
He's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I could go on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Falwell's not a Jew, but he's part of it.
Right. Yeah, I see. And I'm glad to see we both are on the same wavelength as far as that goes.
Yeah.
Listen, you're doing a great job. I just picked up a shortwave receiver. I get you much better on shortwave than I do on satellite.
Oh, well, that's really unusual. Satellite, you should be able to get me crystal clear like I was in your living room.
Yeah, I don't. I get all kind of hash and trash in on it, but I'm in a real remote area.
Well, you may just need to lock in that satellite a little better. Maybe it may be programmed wrong.
Maybe, but, you know, shortwave is real good. And listen, keep up the good work. Yeah, I'll keep you safe.
Thank you. And thank you for calling. 602-337-2524 is the number, folks. The people who are bringing about the great change in the world, folks, are a group of people from all different races and religions who think they're doing the best for humanity. And they each have different agendas according to their race and religion, but they all agree on one thing. They want one world government. And once they have it, then they will fight amongst themselves as to who is going to rule this one world government. And depending upon who wins that battle depends upon which ones of us are going to be slaves or citizens or just be eliminated. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you doing tonight?
Doing pretty good.
I was on a talk show last night talking about the ushering of the New World Order, and I got in a dispute with a guy over about how many people would actually turn in their guns in this country if they were outlawed. And I seem to think that the majority would probably turn them in. He seemed to disagree with me because in the state of California, such a small percentage of the people actually registered their so-called assault weapons when the registration was forced. But when the people bought those guns in the state of California, they weren't registered in the first place, so nobody knew they really had them, so they weren't really forced to register. But in a case where so many guns are registered now, they know they have the guns, and if they do outlaw them, then they know exactly where to go and confiscate them if they have to.
Well, your logic is way off. If you bought a gun in a gun shop, it's registered. You have to fill out the federal forms to buy the weapon.
Well, I understand, but the state of California, before the registration forms, there was no draw forms necessary to fill out.
Didn't have to be. There's always been the federal forms.
Yeah, there's a 4473 form.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right, which would...
Which means there's a record of the purchase, of who bought it. There's a record of what their ID number is, or their driver's license number, and there's a record of their address and exactly what weapon they bought. Also, a lot of these people belong to the NRA, and if they belong to the NRA, they've registered their guns.
Okay, that's true. But if the, when you send in, the, you know, the draw forms go to the Department of Justice and the police department, whereas the 4473 forms were actually just held by the dealers.
Yeah, that's what you think. The BATF has gone to every dealer in this country,
that's
and
true.
They have a record of every one of those.
Right. They'd have to get their hands in the 4473 forms and really know where everything's at.
And they've already done that.
So in your opinion, what do you think, like the guns were outlawed, do you think percentage-wise, educated guess, do you think the majority of the people would actually comply with the laws, that there's real strict penalties on it, or do you think the majority of the people would disobey the laws?
I think the liberals and socialists will turn in their weapons, and it will make it easier for us to deal with them, because we won't.
I'm thinking. Okay, well, thank you very much, and I enjoyed listening to you.
You're welcome.
Carry on. Thanks.
I don't believe that too many good Americans are going to turn in any guns, ladies and gentlemen. That's why everybody, in anticipation of stricter gun control, are rushing out and buying guns and ammunition and primers and reloading equipment and powder. All that stuff is disappearing quickly. People are stocking up. Because those of us who are intelligent know that unless things change quick, there's going to be a civil war in the United States of America. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill, I have a question. I was doing some research today at the library.
Mm-hmm.
Came upon a paper called the Rehnquist Court, which was basically they were looking into interpreting the Bill of Rights and changing it. Do you know anything about that?
You're talking about the Supreme Court where Judge Rehnquist was the Chief Justice.
Right, and I was reading stuff how they change the amendment, the interpretations of amendments, where they could take away some of your rights. And
any court can interpret whatever they want any way that they feel that it should be interpreted, which I feel is wrong, but nevertheless, that's the way it is.
Okay, because I hadn't come across the name before till today, and I was wondering about that.
You never came across
the Rehnquist, the name.
How about Warren?
Yeah, Warren was in here, Earl Warren, right. And the other thing I had was...
just testing you.
Okay. Yeah, I was reading some stuff on the Brady Bill, and because all the new assault weapon ban and everything like that, and they're saying that it's going to keep the guns off the criminals' hands. I found a new little thing from USA Today and News Report that said that where the criminals are getting their guns from is 32% from theft, 17% from retail purchases, and 40% or the rest of it's getting them from the black market. So I don't really see how the... this ban's going to keep him out of the criminal's hands.
Oh, smart man. He won't.
That's right.
Criminal means they don't listen to the law. Criminals don't pay any attention to the law. Criminals don't care what law you pass. If a criminal wants a gun, he'll get a gun from someplace. And if someone wants a gun is willing to pay for it, someone will sell guns.
Right.
Just like they did in Prohibition. Somebody wanted whiskey, somebody sold it to him.
Right. Well, thanks for your time.
You're welcome.
Bye.
No, this whole, I don't know where liberals get their brains at. I think it's at F.W. Woolworth, but I'm not sure. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, this is Scott down in Florida. I'm the National Alliance guy. I talked to you a few weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just have a few questions for you this time. Now, you say all the time about the Freemasons and the Rosicrucians and the mystery schools, that they're all part of the same thing. In a way, I kind of see what you mean. If you mean not that they're part of the same organization, but if they're, say, part of the same social phenomenon, say, a sort of an attempt to step away from the mob, you know, the masses, and to be elitist. Is that what you mean, that sort of reaction along the same lines?
No, when they first join, they don't even know what they're joining.
Because right.
Everything is secret. They learn as they're going up through these degrees of initiation.
Uh-huh.
If they go up very far in the degrees of initiation, which most of them don't. Most of them don't know anything. Most of them join for the same reason that the earlier caller's brother joined. Because they get benefits in business. They get benefits in the law, in court. So they get benefits all over the place. And their fellow brothers are pledged to help them. It's kind of like an old boy network, and that's how they control their communities. But at the highest level, all of these organizations are the same organization. And you can call it whatever you want. We choose to call it the Illuminati. Those who consider themselves to be smarter than the rest of us and consider the rest of us to be cattle. And they practice social engineering to bring about what they call the Golden Age, the New World Order, Utopia, Thousand Year Reich, whatever you want to call it. It's all the same. We got to take a break. Hold on. Listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper, and we have somebody on the line that we were in the middle of a conversation with, and if you'd like to continue, go ahead.
I really agree that the National Socialist Movement was a part of the same thing as the Communist Movement. But
what do you think socialism is?
Well, socialism?
Yeah.
Socialism is social engineering.
That's exactly right. But what is socialism?
Socialism?
Yeah. Do you know the meaning of socialism?
Well, socialism is a social planning. There's more than one kind of socialism. There's socialism that is social planning for a particular people, and there is socialism.
My friend, you need to go to Webster's Dictionary, and when you can discuss socialism intelligently, you can come back to it.
Well,
there is a socialist who doesn't even know what he is, folks, and most socialists don't. Isn't that incredible? Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper. This is Dan, Marinette, Wisconsin, calling.
Hi, Dan.
I've got a couple of questions for you tonight, real quick. One is a fellow by the name of John Coleman. In his book, Committee of 300. Can you tell me anything you know about that?
All I got to tell you is use your common sense. My grandmother used to tell me, when you're trying to figure something out, grandson, always give it the common sense test first. What do you know about committees? Let's go through a little common sense exercise here. What do you know about committees?
A group of people.
Okay. What do you know about group of people trying to make decisions?
They never usually reach a consensus.
And
they usually do it behind closed doors.
What if you got a committee of two people?
It's a lot easier to make a decision than 300 people.
Okay. What do you think would happen if 300 people sat down at a meeting and tried to reach an agreement?
Yeah, doesn't sound too plausible.
Not at all. John Coleman is part of British intelligence, and his book is full of tons of just absolute bullshit. There's some truth in there, but most of it's bullshit. His assertion that the Beatles were the ones who coined the word teenager, and the word teenager destroyed the youth of this country, is also bullshit. My parents were calling me a teenager, and other people were calling us teenagers long before the Beatles ever came along on the scene. I could go through his whole book and show you just how much crap is in there. His assertion that Queen Elizabeth is the head of the secret world government is also bullshit. She can't even control her own family. And besides that, somebody got mad at her and burned her castle down not too long ago.
Right.
So, what do you think about the book?
The thing that I thought was funny was the reading through it, he covers a lot of the same material as in your book, and he sort of unifies it, but I thought it was strange because you hadn't mentioned such a committee in your book.
That's because there is no such committee.
Ah, okay. Well, I guess that sort of puts some light on that. The other question I have, Mr. Cooper, is about religions and different churches. I'm not sure how well-versed you are with the different denominations and stuff. But since I've read your book and I've decided to try to get right with my Creator, I've been looking for a church that I could that preaches as close to the word, the true word of God, and bases its theology and doctrine on, you know, God's word. And I'm just wondering if you had any opinions of which churches would be your closest to, you know, the actual word of God.
Which God are you talking about?
I'm talking about the God of the Bible.
Okay.
The Christian God, the Father of Jesus Christ.
In answer to that, there aren't any.
They're all will all lead you on the wrong path?
Yes, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
And I've looked into just about every one that I can find. None of them teach what Jesus Christ taught. None of them teach what God taught. None of them practice what they teach, even though it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So it really doesn't make any difference. But, you know, depending upon which God you want to see, I believe in the Constitution. I personally am a Christian. I try to lead my life as Jesus Christ taught to lead it. I'm not always successful because I'm a human being.
Only human, right.
But I try. And the only place that I can find the true church is in his words in the New Testament and nowhere else.
I see.
And his church exists wherever two or more of his followers
are gathered
together. So that's the church I would recommend to you, but at the same time, I respect your freedom and your choice should you choose another one.
I see. Okay, well, very good. And happy belated birthday. And hello to Carolyn. She's a new member since I called last time. And I won't take any more of your time, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
602-337-2524. Remember, folks, this is not a religious show. And when I give you a religious viewpoint, or my own personal religious viewpoint, it's just that. I believe in our freedom, our right to choose whatever religion we wish, each of us separately. I believe in your right to worship at the altar of your choice. I draw the line when your worship interferes with me or anyone else on this earth. And that's it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening. First of all, I'd like to tell you that the program tonight has been scratching all through. They seem to have fixed it up for a few minutes, and it keeps scratching back, scratching again. There's some type of interference in the program. It's been on for the last three-quarters of an hour, or close to it. I'd like to...
Wait a minute. What are you listening on? Shortwave?
5810, yes, shortwave.
Well, that's probably in your local area.
No, it's everywhere because...
Now, wait a minute. How do you know that? You're not
I know that that's what it is.
Goodbye. Another dummy. You don't know anything, you stupid sheeple. God, where do they come from? Why do they have to...
Take up our time.
Jeez, wherever he's at, he's hearing it. But we have a shortwave radio right here in the studio, and it's not on ours. Therefore, and you're not here anyway. You're where you're at. You're not everywhere. And you don't know what's happening everywhere. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. How are you? Same question.
I don't know.
I have two questions. Do you think there's any hope of this thing changing politically?
I believe there's going to be a political resolution to this?
Yes.
No, I've said that before.
There
will be no political resolution. There will be no relief in the courts.
I don't, you know, that's the way I feel. I told some people I'm very pessimistic at this point because I don't see... And it's taken us 215 years to get here. I don't think we've got that much time to turn around.
Well, don't be pessimistic. Just understand that you're going to have to do it a different way. We're going to have to keep our freedoms a different way, the way that freedoms have always been kept throughout the history of the world.
Well,
you're going to have to fight for it.
Yeah. I was talking to my son today, and I said, you know, it was like all through school we were taught that our forefathers, that it was a one-time fight, and they fought for it, and then we gained this freedom, and that was it.
It's never a one-time.
It's just like the Christian walk. It's a continual fight every day.
It's never a one-time fight.
One more question. We have heard from several very reliable friends that are Christians, and there has been several different people have had a prophecy about something happening in our country the first part of June. Have you heard anything? Yeah, you're late to this.
I deal with fact, and I leave prophecy up to God and prophets, and I don't live my life according to prophecy. I live my life according to what is right. Every day I have to make decisions.
Oh, wow.
I always choose the right decision if I can find the right decision, and I go with that, and I don't listen to all this other stuff.
Okay. I just didn't know if you had heard. I mean, I'm not basing an action of mine on this. I was just wondering if anybody else had heard from other parts of the country.
I hear this stuff all the time. I hear prophecy. I hear channeling. I hear this. I hear that. I hear people who claim that they're the last day prophet of God. I hear all this stuff. I don't pay any attention to it. If Jesus is coming, he'll get here when he gets here, when he wants to get here. And when he gets here, I think I'll recognize him. Until then, I'm just going to keep on plugging and doing my best to do the best that I can and try to live my life according to what he taught.
I appreciate it. Talk to you later.
Thank you for calling. 602-337-2524. I would like to caution you people against all this prophecy stuff. That's how you can be manipulated into doing nothing, into accepting whatever happens to you. You know that? You know that all the Christians they threw to the lions in Rome didn't have to go into that lion's den? They outnumbered everybody else. They could have stood and fought, and they wouldn't have had to do it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. This is Gary calling from Arizona. You had a caller earlier that was interested in aluminum thickness for armor-piercing rounds.
Uh-huh.
And I have a military training manual, and it's 2.6 inches minimum to defeat 30 caliber AP rounds.
Great. That ought to answer the question.
Yeah. Just for information, it's 1.3 inches minimum. On the interference, I'm down here in Tucson, and I'm getting some of it down here.
Okay.
So, anyway, thanks.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
602-337-2524. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
My name is Charlie. I'm out here in Norfolk, Virginia.
Hi, Charlie.
And I'm listening to you on SAT, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Two things. One, your audio on SAT is also scratchy. I'm getting it here in Norfolk off SAT, very scratchy. And I've gone to other birds to listen, and it's clear. Okay? So if it's the bird or you, I can't tell, but I'm just telling you what I'm hearing. Okay.
Is that just for tonight? Let me interrupt. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Is that the scratchiness just tonight?
Just tonight. Yeah, the other night you guys were crystal clear. And tonight it is a popping sound, scratchy. No one else has really mentioned it except for that one other fellow and that was hearing it on shortwave. I'm not on shortwave. I'm on right now G3, 17.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. It's very scratchy. I've tried even narrow banding you and tuning off and all, you know, back and forth, thinking my L&B had drifted a little bit, but it is. It's scratchy. So that's what observation. Next question. What do you think about the FKS 762 times 39?
What do I think about it personally?
As a assault weapon.
I wouldn't have it as an assault weapon.
You wouldn't?
Not me personally. Other people love it.
Okay.
It's up to you.
Now I'm talking about modified with a banana clip. You know.
I don't care how it is. I wouldn't have it unless it's the only thing around.
It's akin to an AK-47.
I know exactly what it is.
Yeah.
You ask me a question, I gave you an answer.
Well, thanks. Okay. What would you suggest?
Other people love it. Just because I wouldn't have it doesn't mean it's no good. It's just that my personal choice is different than that. Well, my personal choice, if I was going to have anything, would be a MAC 90, which is an AK-47.
Right.
If I wanted something that was going to not jam, that was always going to fire, that I could count on.
Same round, though, right? 762 times 39?
No, I'd use 223.
Okay. How about a 375?
A 375 what?
Just a 375 round.
375 H&H Magnum?
A Springfield or what? Yeah.
H&H Magnum?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I have built a rifle that's a long-range rifle, and that's the round I use, only it's an improved round.
I've heard that's one hell of a round.
It is, but we've improved it. I won't go into that. We did two shows on it, and it was in the last issue of the newsletter.
One last question?
Mm-hmm.
As a pistol round, what do you think of the 10 mil? I heard it's going out. I was thinking about going over to a 40. Of course, it's basically the same caliber, but I'm talking about a 10 mil.
Well, I that's a personal choice. I have a 9mm. If you want to make sure that you stop a big man who's bent on getting you and he's close up, I'd use a 45.
45?
Yeah.
Okay, this is a Colt Delta Elite I'm using.
I don't care what it is.
I understand.
That's my answer.
I understand. So you think the 45, huh?
The 45 will stop anything that you need to stop.
Okay, I appreciate it, Bill.
And you don't want a pistol for anything other than close range.
Exactly. That's right. All right, well, there's the thing on the audio, and thanks for the answers on the round.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. 602-337-2524. Remember, folks, if you call and you're asking a question, it's a personal answer. I give you a personal answer. We don't have to agree. That's my personal choice. And just because my personal choice doesn't agree with yours doesn't mean yours is a bad choice. I hope you understand that. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Bill. This is Teresa in Phoenix, and I'm also getting the scratchy stuff. Have you heard what our dear governor did today?
No.
About the ganging up on the gangs. He's hired special force police. I would just wonder, where did they get their training from?
Well, I don't know.
I'm curious.
Why don't you call and ask them and let us know?
I'm definitely going to, and I'll send you some paperwork on that. I wonder if they're foreigners.
Well, I doubt if they're foreigners, but who knows what they are. All these special police and black uniform police and multi-jurisdictional task force and National Guard functioning as police is not copacetic with freedom. It's not, should not be in this country.
That's the way I believe it. I have one more question. What do you know about this man named Lord Maitreya?
Well, I know that he probably doesn't exist.
Well, I don't know how I got on the mailing list, but I'm certainly on it.
Well, it doesn't mean he exists. What you are is you're on the mailing list of the Share Foundation with Benjamin Krim.
Right, right.
Nobody's ever seen this Lord Maitreya. Supposedly, he's appeared in a couple of places, but when you go to check it out, he didn't appear at all. You cannot find any such individual, but somebody's writing books and pamphlets and claiming to be the Messiah named Lord Maitreya, and the New Age is going a buggy over it, but it's more stuff like Hitler did.
Have you ever heard Benjamin Krim speak?
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I understand that he's very mesmerizing.
He's full of bullshit. Mesmerizing only to stupid people who don't understand that everything he's saying is a lie.
Okay, okay. Okay, Bill, thanks. Keep up the good work.
You're welcome.
Goodbye.
Read his books. There's books out, published, supposedly written by Lord Maitreya. You read those books, and you're reading Karl Marx, almost verbatim. Good evening. You're on the air.
Mr. Cooper, I've done what I can with Swiss America to try to protect myself, but I still have indebtedness, and I'm trying to figure out whether it's of any consequence to try to pay off indebtedness before the devaluation.
Why pay it off?
Okay, so just
I wouldn't give those bloodsuckers anything. In fact, my recommendation is, since they create money out of thin air, borrow as much as their phony created out of thin air money as you can and don't pay them back. There's no debtor prison in the United States. Did you know that?
Yes, sir. I've heard you say that.
Tell them to kiss off.
Thank you very much.
They're scum-sucking leeches. They're destroying this country. They're liars, and they're con artists, and they've destroyed our economy, our currency, our money, everything. Yeah, borrow every penny you can from them and tell them to kiss off. That's my advice.
Yep.
So, folks, you may not like to hear those things, but it's the truth. And if you get the book Goodbye April 15th and The Vultures in Eagles Clothing and read them, you'll understand why I just said what I did. And you'll understand how you've been taken for a ride your whole life. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill Cooper?
Yes.
I was up in your San Jose preparedness conference.
Uh-huh.
And I asked you a question about the other guy.
What other guy?
The guy that was on the bill with you.
Nobody was on the bill with me. I speak by myself.
I mean, he followed or was before you.
I don't know. I didn't pay any attention to anybody's schedule
okay.
but mine. So what's your point?
Oh, I listened to your show a couple weeks ago, and apparently you got the impression I went back to McIlvany and told him what you thought of him, but I didn't.
I didn't say you did.
Oh.
I don't even know who you are.
I was at the conference and talking to you.
There was hundreds of people there talking to me.
I asked you what you thought of McIlvany.
Yeah.
And you told me.
Yeah.
And then you got into a rhubarb with McIlvany about it.
I didn't get in a rhubarb. He came over and threatened me. I told him to kiss off.
Okay. Well, I just didn't want you to give the impression I'd gone over and told him. I just wanted.
What difference would it make if you did?
Okay.
Why would I care?
Okay, good.
I believe in truth. If I told you something and you went and told him and it was the truth, I don't care.
That's one of the reasons I like listening to you. I'm also a seeker of truth, and that's why I asked your opinion in the first place.
Yeah, well.
I sure appreciate you. I like listening to your show, and I get a lot of information from you.
Thank you.
And thanks a lot, and keep up the good work.
You're welcome.
Bye.
I don't know what that was all about. It was like, I did a show a few nights ago, and I mentioned something that I got from some people that was bogus information and said that this stuff is floating through all these networks in the Patriot community, and some guy called up and said, how come you attacked me on the air? I didn't even know who he was. Never mentioned anybody's name. Some of you people out there really have guilty consciences. That's all I can say. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper.
Yes.
I've been listening to you a very short time. I just got an outside antenna, so I could get you. Jesus don't step this lady. What's your idea? What's the reason for changing the money like they're doing?
Number one, they want to devalue it. Number two, they're going to find out who's got money and who hasn't, because the only way you can save what you've got is to turn it in. So if you've got $50,000 stashed in your mattress and nobody knows about it, they're going to know about it when they change the money, because the only way you can save that money, because it won't be any good if you don't turn it in. If somebody's sitting on $3 million and is pretending that they're poor, everybody's going to know they got $3 million or else they're going to lose it, because they're going to have to change it for the new money.
Well, what's the reason for finding out how much money you've got?
You don't understand what that's all about?
No, I'm one of those dummies.
Well, they want to control you. They want to know who has money. Do you know that if you go buy an airline ticket and pay cash in most of the major airports in this country, before you can get on the plane, you will be taken aside by DEA agents, and they will want to know where you got that cash. They will confiscate your ticket and any other cash that you have if you can't prove where you got it. Do you know that?
You know, I haven't been on an airplane lately.
Well, you don't have to. Go down to your bank and withdraw $10,000 and see what happens to you. Go down to your bank and deposit $4,000 in cash and see what happens to you.
Well,
I don't mean a check or cashier's check or anything. I mean cash. You're going to get visited by somebody who's going to want to know where you got that cash. And they're going to want to know if you got any more of it. And if you do, they're going to take it from you.
And you'll never see it again.
The New World Order is coming, my friend. They want everything.
That's what I'm afraid of.
They want your underwear. And if you don't wake up, they're going to get it.
Well, I appreciate that.
You're welcome. I know you probably didn't like my answer. I don't like it either, folks. I don't like telling you these things. I really don't. But somebody's got to. And the good Lord, many years ago, chose me to do it. I don't know why. Because there's a lot more people who are a lot more perfect than I am. But it seems to be my job, and I'm going to do it the best way I can. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hello.
This is Bill in Virginia. I just started listening to you several months back when you were on in an earlier time. And then when they switched you to after midnight on the shortwave, I sort of lost track of listening to you.
They didn't switch me. We were doing two shows every night. We just let the earlier one drop.
Right. Well, anyway, when you went to after midnight, I sort of missed track of you because I got to get up early to work and all. So I was looking forward to catching you on Fridays, and they switched to the ladies' night there and all.
Why don't you try recording the broadcast?
I'm not set up for that. I work on the road. I'm out of town during the week, you see.
Oh, you don't have anybody that could do it for you?
No, sir. But at any rate, that's not my complaint. Well, I'm not trying to complain or anything.
And I wasn't trying to criticize. I was trying to give you some help. But go ahead.
I appreciate it. But you were taking someone to task for, I don't know who, but for calling during the ladies' night. And just a note in case you don't know, Shortwave was broadcasting a tape of your program that night. And
no, that was another ladies' night. I was talking about Friday, this last Friday night.
Oh, it was, okay, it was the Friday before last. Okay.
It doesn't matter. Every time we've ever had a ladies' night, the same thing happens. We'll say it's ladies' night. We want to hear from the ladies. We want to let the ladies express their viewpoint and get their points across because, believe it or not, men and women are not the same. They don't think the same. They don't approach problems the same.
This is true.
They talk about things different, and they come up with different solutions, and they need their time to talk about those things, and we men need to listen to them.
Right. I'm not trying to get you in an antagonistic mood.
I'm not.
He's just trying to explain because many of the men have even asked that we be sure to continue the ladies' night because they want their wives to get involved. And some of the women want to be able to explain how they can't get their husbands involved. So we need to have the ladies' night.
Yeah, and this Friday night, they're going to be talking about homeschooling, and Doreen is going to be here with Carolyn, and so it should be very interesting. And once again, I want to tell you people, if you call and you're a male voice, they're going to instantly hang up. They're not even going to talk to you. Not even going to listen for a second. As soon as they hear it's a male voice, you're going to get hung up on, so don't even try it. Try listening to the women for a change instead of trying to call in. And we're out of time, my friend. I hate to cut you off, but I have no choice.
Open skies.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Okay, folks, that's it for tonight. Listen to this closing melody because it's true. Good night, and God bless you all. He's coming, liberals. He's coming, Marxists. His name is Superman. He believes in truth, justice, and the American way. And he will come in the form of the militia of the several states. You better watch your ass, because he's coming for you.